Good morning. Joshua B. Barr is a native of Sumter, South Carolina. He earned his bachelor's degree in management from Francis Marion University in Florence, South Carolina in 2003. He went on to pursue his Juris Doctorate at University of South Carolina School of Law, graduating in May 2007. Let's see. He went on to study at Smeal College of Business MBA program in Pennsylvania at Pennsylvania State University, graduating in 2010. He then moved to Columbia, South Carolina, big move, where he met his wife, Lorena, who has only been in the country 10 months, to conduct research on institutional corruption at there's a Latin description of the name of the university, but I'll do the America or the converted one because I can't pronounce it. So I even have trouble with the English one, but Giverniana. I may have. I knew it. I should have asked you. Okay, Giverniana University. Publishing articles, A Legal Perspective on Corruption Models and the Evolution of Business Law in Colombia, Is It Possible to End Colombia's Legal Dependency? Joshua later became professor at Giverniana University, teaching international business and law courses. He served as international legal consultant for Corn Products International, Andina, and Director of Education for the Foundation GSC English for Everyone. Again, there was a Latin I can't pronounce. but that was the English translation. After two fantastic and thought-stimulating years in Colombia, Joshua returned to the United States to address social issues in his native state of South Carolina. From 2013 to 2015, he worked as civil rights attorney and the state fair housing director at South Carolina Human Affairs Commission. 7 months ago, Joshua moved to Des Moines and presently works for Director of Civil and Human Rights Department for the City of Des Moines. With the Civil and Human Rights Commission, Joshua works to eliminate and prevent discrimination in the areas of employment, housing, municipal practices, public accommodations, in order to make Des Moines a model city. Please join me in welcoming Joshua.
Thank you. He said I moved to Columbia, South Carolina. I don't know if people caught that. It should have been Columbia, South America. Maybe I have a typo on my biography. I lived in Columbia, South Carolina. I've lived in Columbia. I came to Des Moines from Columbia, South Carolina. But I did live in Colombia, South America for a few years, and some of the best years of my life were spent down there, broadened my horizons. I met my lovely wife there, and it was just a great overall. But I've been here for 7 months, very happy to be here. I think it was a good decision. It was a tough decision to leave my native South Carolina, but I'm one of those people. I'm truly a fighter for the rights of humanity. I tell people all the time, humanity is my religion. And so is love. So to make that decision, it wasn't easy. I was telling Ryan Crane just a few moments ago, he was saying, hey, I heard you turn down the job originally. I said, yes, I did. And he asked me why. And I told him, when I first came, me and my wife, all they did was show us the beautiful and the glamour of Des Moines, and which is great. But when you're doing civil rights work, civil rights, It sounds sexy, but the work itself is not. It's boots to the ground, working with the community, trying to see what issue you can address to better the lives of everyone. Everyone. And so when you show me the good and the great and the glam and look at our beautiful downtown, we're number one here, we're number one there, I was like, well, shit, I can stay in South Carolina. We're not number one in anything. So I turned down the job, and then they called me back, like, hey, why did you turn the job down? You'll be making significantly more money than you would at your current position. I was like, well, you must be mistaken if you think I work for money. And they were like, oh, well, what do you want then? I said, I really want to affect change. And everything you showed me showed that there were no issues there, therefore you don't need me. And then they said, we got problems, come back, fly back, we'll show them all to you. And I made the decision to fly back on my wife's birthday. She had gave me permission to go. She still hangs it over my head. But I went, and I got a different view. I got to talk with people in the community. I went to a forum on social justice issues, and it was really good to see a passionate base of people. That's something that is actually missing in my native state. I think a lot of times people have become very complacent. They think the way things are, the way things have been, or the way they are, and they're never going to change. And I fight against that every day. And so to meet a passionate base of people, just common folks who really want to do better and be better than they were the day before, was something I was willing to grab onto and try to address those issues together with the people of Des Moines. So I'm really happy to be here. I was actually really excited to get the call to actually come for the First Friday Breakfast Club. One of my commissioners, he was telling me when I first got here, yeah, you need to get plugged into that group. They do a lot of good work. And I was like, how do I get plugged in? And I'll show you, but he's been really busy. So I've been here 7 months, but when I got when my assistant got the message from John, I said, hey, just say yes immediately. We'll do it. And I was really excited because we were going to be able to address the First Friday Breakfast Club scholarship recipients. I am really gung-ho about working with the youth. I believe that, you know, Whitney said it best, the children are the future. Teach them well and let them lead the way, because eventually they will inherit this city, this state, this planet. And I think we, as the adults, although I still consider myself to be young, I think I'm a millennial. But we as adults, we have to make sure we don't continue the intergenerational tyranny upon the planet and upon our fellow human beings. So I work with youth all the time. That's one of my favorite things to do. So when I got the invitation, I was very excited. Thank you, Mr. Wilson. I really appreciate the invitation. So today, most of this address is it can apply to anybody, but it's really honed in on the young adults who are moving on to the next phase of their life. Most of these people, I believe, are graduating from high school and going on to college. And they're young leaders, and they're moving on from one phase of life to another. Now, I won't be long today. I'll try to be as brief as possible. I've heard that's impossible for me. My dad is a Southern preacher, and he was... when I was a kid, I used to... Whenever he started preaching, I used to just lay out across the pew because I knew I was going to get a good nap. So I'll try to be as brief as I possibly can. And one reason why I want to do that is because, you know, most people, you don't remember what people said word for word when they give these speeches. I remember receiving speeches, listening to them when I was in college, people giving me the commencement speech about, you know, I graduated, thank you, Lordy, not cum laude. And you just remember little nuances. And so I want to just give some nuggets, some gems that people may be able to take with them through life. And not just the scholarship recipients, but everyone here. So it's always my job to challenge. I truly believe in challenging people. I like to stir that pot, call your mind, and make you think just a little. So today I want to ask everyone, but more so the scholarship recipients who are going to college, you know, what is your foundation built upon? What is your life foundation built upon? And I ask that because when you're building a home, you have to make sure the foundation is right. Because if the foundation is right, nothing else will, when your foundation isn't right, nothing else will go right. If a foundation has a crack in it, you have to actually tear the home down and build up the foundation again. So you have to make sure you have the right foundation. Without a proper foundation, it will all fall apart. But if you have a good foundation, when the winds blow, you'll stand firm. And even if the house gets blown down, you can just build up from the foundation because your foundation is solid. It's intact. So when I was a kid, there was a song called "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock." That's a song we used to sing. And so I want to establish a rock. And I know most of the scholarship recipients, they're on a good path. Otherwise, they wouldn't get a scholarship. But we want to always make sure that as you're molding your foundation, as you're moving to the next phase of life, that you have your priorities in order to face the struggles that life will blow at you. Because life, if you make the wrong decisions, is long. It's really long, and it's hard. So make sure your foundation is right. So as you begin to solidify your foundation, you should make sure that your foundation is comprised of four things. Number one, it is a belief in yourself and your self-worth. So, for example, I'll give you a very quick example. If I pull out my wallet, don't have much money, we're living in a plastic age, but if I pull out this $5 bill, who's willing to take this $5 bill from me? All right. Now, I didn't ask who wanted it, I said who's willing to take it, but nobody came up here and got it. So, in life is about risk. Life is about taking chances. So in life, you have to take chances. You have to have a belief in yourself. Now, what if I took the dollar and the $5 bill and I just ripped it a little? Would you still want it, people who raised your hands? All right. What if I balled it up? Would you still want it? What if I dropped it on the floor and just... Would you still want it? Why is that? Has value. That is the key. Life has value. So no matter what you go through, when people rip at you, when they ball you up, when they call you names and they say you're not going to be anything, when they say you're different, you're queer, they call you names, you still have value. And it truly does get better. You know, being in my position, you know, it wasn't cool to be the smart kid in school. It wasn't, especially being in the South, being a black male trying to be intelligent. You know, you were called names. I'm living proof of that. I've testified. I've probably been bullied my whole life, but bully made me honestly who I am. I wouldn't be standing before you today fighting for the rights of others if I wasn't oppressed myself by others. So you still have value. No matter what, you have to remember life is the most valuable thing that you have. And don't let the words and actions of others blow you to the side or blow you astray from your path. Critics don't get statues. You ever seen a statue of a critic? No, it's the person who plays their part, person who plays their role. Most people will never remember the critics who criticize a movie, but if they see the movie, they'll remember the movie. Make sure you're playing a good role. That's the key part. So you have to have belief in yourself and belief in your self-worth. So number two, in forming your foundation, you need to make sure you strive for excellence in your endeavors. No matter what you take on, make sure you strive to do it well. Most of you receiving scholarships, I believe you're going to college, or they write you a check rather than give you a scholarship. But not all of you will have the same major. Not all of you will have the same career. But no matter what path you choose, set out to do it well, to the best of your abilities, and take pride in anything that you put your name on. I always tell my employees, if you put your name on something, put pride in it, because it's a reflection of you. I can actually tell a quick anecdote. When I was making the decision on whether I should come back or not, to actually come to Des Moines and give it a second shot when they asked me to come back, I went on the internet and they say, we got problems. So I said, well, let me read up on some of the problems. And I read a letter to the editor article from a young person who's actually getting a scholarship today about the issues at in West Des Moines High School. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And it was very well written. It was written better than I could do. I was like, wow, that is really impressive. And you have to put pride in what you do because you're presenting something to the audience. And the stage is the world. The world is a stage. So you have to make sure whatever you present, that you take pride and put excellence into your endeavors. Don't let characteristics or circumstances that you cannot control be a reason for giving less than your best. Once again, people can always say things to you, but eventually, if you put your name on it, make sure you put some pride in it, no matter what people say about you. When you discover what you want to do with your life, make sure you do it better than anyone, living or dead. If you can't be a leader, you be the best follower you can be. And if you can be a leader, be the best leader you can be. Be an example for others. Practice makes what?
Perfect.
Wrong. Practice makes better, because you can never be perfect. Always strive to be humble. You can always do something just a little better. I promise you, I'll probably give this speech in about another year or so and tweak it to see what can I do better. Although I think I'm doing pretty good. I think. But I must remain humble. So, now, the third element of your foundation is to always be hungry for knowledge and expanding your horizons. Life is a lifelong lesson. Learning does not end after high school. Learning does not end after college. When you stop learning, you begin to die and wither away. Life is learning. There are more things to see that can ever be seen, more things to do that can ever be done. But no matter what, go out and seek that. Broaden your horizons. Learn a new language. Visit a new country. Learn more about the plight of mankind. I can say that, for example, I traveled. One of the best things I ever did was to go to Colombia. When I went down there, I actually did not speak Spanish. Now, yo puedo hablar español un poquito. So, all right. So, but it was a challenge, and I embraced that challenge. Why are you going to a country you can't even speak? I want a new challenge. It was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life. One of the best decisions was to go out and challenge myself. Now, on the road of life, you will encounter a number of WMDs. I call them weapons of mass distraction. This phone I have here is a weapon of mass distraction. The television is a weapon of mass distraction. Facebook can be a weapon of mass distraction, but it can also be good. It's a double-edged sword. It can be used for good or it can be used for negative or something to take you off the goals that you strive for in life. So always be aware of WMDs. And because WMDs, they don't make you any smarter. I've never regretted opening a book. Never. Even when I don't want to do it, I take something away from every time I open a book. Always expand your horizons. Listen to NPR. I love it. PBS. I'm a documentary geek. You know, my wife went away for 3 weeks about a month ago. And people are like, did you sell your wild oats? I was like, yeah, I got to watch like 20 documentaries. Like, So always be hungry for knowledge. Now, the fourth element of your foundation, a commitment to others. I ask you, in 2016, have we overcome all forms of discrimination and bigotry?
No.
No. No. The things that people were fighting for in 1866, some people still fight for in 2016. Things people fight for in 1960, still fighting for in 2016. Some of the things people fought for in 1980, people are still fighting for in 2016. Sometimes, I watch a lot of different news programs. I watch CBS News from like the 1960s or 70s or 80s on YouTube. YouTube is great. It can be good or evil. And you can watch a lot of things. And sometimes I watch like Phil Donahue program, and I swear they could be talking about the same thing this year. I'm like, wow, are we still going through that? So you must always fight. We're still dealing with marriage equality. Certain judges say, I will not sign that. And they're taking away someone's right to give a benefit to their lover, to demonstrate that my love, I'm willing to put a ring on it. No, you can't help who you love. These are characteristics that you didn't have control over, and people are still trying to fight against that. We're fighting over bathroom bills. It all started in Houston, Texas. No boys in the girls' bathroom, and people got riled up, and we're still fighting these issues. It's just different. It's a different day, same thing. So you must remain committed to others. We still have some tough days, weeks, and years ahead, but we must never forget our commitment to our fellow man or woman. We can't forget this because life is a shared experience. Some people try to say life is individual. I actually disagree with that because all of us came from a sperm and an egg, shared. We breathe the same air. We share the same sunlight. We drink the same water from Mother Earth. It is a shared experience. We're sharing breakfast today. I mean, it's horrible to eat alone. As Americans, though, sometimes we don't understand. I had a good friend from Nepal, and when he came to this country, he said, "Joshua, I ate dinner alone." I do that all the time. What are you talking about? No, you don't understand. Then I went to a different country, and I saw nobody ate alone. Life is a shared experience. And when you share it together, when you work together, it's a beautiful experience. So never forget your commitment to others. There is no I am. There is only we are. We are collective. We share this planet together. We need to take care of it, and we also need to take care of each other. So don't stop fighting for the rights of others. Continue to speak out against injustices. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated that we must learn to live together as brothers, or we'll die and perish as fools. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So you must continue to speak up for what's right and what's wrong. So in conclusion, told you I was going to be brief. I hope that was brief enough. But you must continue down this path called life. And don't forget to mold a solid foundation. That is a foundation based in belief in yourself and your self-worth, excellent in all your endeavors, an undying hunger for knowledge, and a commitment to your fellow human beings. With that foundation, no matter what life throws in your way, you'll be able to stand firm and steadfast in your principles. I wish you all the best in your life's journey. And remember, when you can no longer fly, run. And when you can no longer run, walk. And when you can no longer walk, crawl. But let's do it together. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Joshua. We have a tradition of giving a token of appreciation to our speakers, and I have for you a recording of the Des Moines Gay Men's Chorus, which I hope that you will enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And you're welcome to share it with your wife. Joshua has made some very important points, and he has made it clear that it's not a destination. It's not perfect. It's to make it better and to keep on keeping on. Life is very much a relay race, and it is imperative that we carry the baton when it's our turn, and we do it well, and we hand it off to yet another generation to carry the baton on from us. That, I think, is really the essence of what we're about. And it's not a destination. Civil rights, not a destination. We're still fighting some of the same ignorance that afflicted us at the time of the revolution and beyond. So we do have to keep on keeping on. And as you mentioned, commissioners are very busy. You're there full time. And I believe that it's the executive director of the commission that is the foundation of that commission. And I think we have seen assurance that our foundation is solid. And we wish you well in your continuing work. Thank you very much. And with that, I will turn to Ryan Crane and Tim Schreck. for recognizing our scholarship recipients.
Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right. Wanted to, before we begin presenting the awards to the scholars, which is why we're all here this morning, I did want to recognize prior members of the scholarship committee. Would anybody who is a prior member of the FFPC scholarship committee please stand? Come on. All right. Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. And current scholarship committee members, the current members of the scholarship committee, please stand. Thank you. I'd like to recognize donors to the scholarship program. We do fundraise kind of in real time. All of the money that we raise every year goes back to the scholarships. So anybody who gave $100 or more to the scholarship, please stand and remain standing. $100 or more. Thank you. Thank you very much. Remain standing. $1,000 or more. I think there are several of you in the room who gave $1,000 or more. Jonathan standing in back. thank you to everybody. And finally, the parents and family and loved ones of the scholars who are here this morning, please stand and be recognized. It is not without your love and support that they would be here this morning, so that's very special. We are going to present the scholarships this morning in no particular order, just to keep everybody on their toes. And as we do so, Tim and I will co-present and kind of alternate. One of us will talk, the other one will talk, the other. But if the scholars would please stand right here, and Gary Moore, our resident photographer, will be capturing these moments. Just kind of turn towards Gary's way. Gary's wearing the orange polo there. So, scholars, we say nice things, you come up, you stand, we take picture, we give you the award, and then you go and go back to your seats, and then we'll do a group photo at the very end, okay? Great. So, we'll start with Philip Runia. Philip changed Humboldt High School for the better. His letters of recommendation included words like positive, good-hearted, and upbeat. He also had a lot of firsts. He was the school's first male cheerleader. He was the founding member of the Gay-Straight Alliance, or GSA. We're going to say GSA a lot through this, so GSA. And the first student to speak about the Citizens United case at a school board meeting. He was also one of the first students to have the scholarship committee both chuckling and choked up at the same time while reading his application. Philip will attend the University of Iowa this fall. Please help us congratulate Philip Runia.
Next up, we have Ryan McDaniel. Ryan had the unique challenge of navigating cultural views toward his status as a young gay man. His Filipino family status in otherwise Latino and white Marshalltown left him feeling isolated and sometimes challenged to find an identity. Nevertheless, he excelled academically, scoring in the 96th percentile on his ACTs. He was also president of his school's GSA, and did extensive research on the challenges facing LGBT youth. His skills as a writer are also noteworthy. His essays were some of the best written of any that this committee has read in recent memory. Ryan will be a student at University of Iowa this fall. Please help me congratulate Ryan McDaniel.
Liam Jameson was having a very difficult time living as his openly gay, authentic self at Dowling Catholic High School in West Des Moines. His thoughts and mood got very dark at times in the first part of his academic career until one day a teacher made an effort to connect with him. He cites mental health battles and battles with self-esteem as the biggest thing facing LGBT youth. His extraordinary efforts to lead the growth of one human family, the school's version of the GSA, and in his application, he cited Tyler McCubbin, who actually spoke last month, whose public dismissal from Dowling generated lots of online buzz. Thanks to a petition started by the Matthew Shepard Scholarship Foundation, Liam created some buzz and awareness of his own with a change.org petition that, as I checked on last Monday when I wrote this speech, had had 7,000 signatures from around the world. Liam will attend Iowa State University this fall. Let's give a round of applause to Liam.
Elliot Smith. Elliot's parents instilled in him a belief in LGBT equality from a very early age. When he came out as transgender, he had to worry more about his school than his home life. A long-standing tradition at West Des Moines Valley was to segregate kids based on sex or gender in an advisory class similar to homeroom. Elliot successfully led a petition at Valley, one of the largest high schools in the state of Iowa, to make progressive changes to this model. Elliot's leadership will continue at the University of Iowa this fall. Let's give Elliot a round of applause.
Caden Jones is a member of 4-H and is from the tiny community of Edgewood Colesburg. But that does not mean that his view of the world is small. He started the school's first GSA and engaged his fellow classmates in conversations about discrimination, conversion therapy, homelessness for LGBT youth, and more. And to lead as an openly gay high schooler anywhere, obviously, is a big achievement, but Caden is perhaps the only openly gay person in his whole community. He is as big-hearted as he is academically gifted, having earned a 3.92 GPA. This fall, he will head off to Iowa State University. Let's please give a round of applause to Caden.
Benjamin Christensen remembers thinking to himself, "I want girls to like me back, but to like me as a boy." Not knowing much about being transgender, Benjamin first identified as lesbian, then simply as gay, and finally as transgender, with his parents and grandparents and school support along the way. This fall, he competed as a boy in cross country and won hearts and minds in his orchestra by educating the school's instructor on the importance of being allowed to wear a tuxedo during performances. Ben will attend McAllister College. Is that right?
St. Olaf.
St. Olaf College. Please congratulate Benjamin.
Finally, Parker Miles said that he was fortunate that the conversation in which he came out to his mom was perfect and supportive and everything I needed to hear. He has spoken to a number of audiences, including the TSA, about transgender equality and is the president of his local Gay-Straight Alliance. Parker met a friend online who is also transgender and lives in Arkansas, but has no support from his local friends, family, or community. After learning from the challenges faced by his friend, Parker realized the importance for standing up for others and is willing to take his bravery and his passion for social justice to Iowa State University this fall. Please help me congratulate Parker.